I'd like to welcome everyone to church this morning, not only those that are here in person, but those that are on various social media. As you know, today is a special day as we are having two people being baptized. So glad to see all of you here. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We have a lot of different things going on in the church this coming week. Today is the annual trunk or treat. That starts at 5:30. Everyone is encouraged, all youngsters, friends that you may have are certainly encouraged to come. It's going to have a pizza dinner from Napoli's. The children are encouraged to wear their costumes. The adults, if you want to wear costumes, that's fine too, but you don't have to. But the children will after their dinner, they will just go around to all the trunks that are there and pick up candy. So we hope a lot of adults are there to help with that. This coming Wednesday is Big Wednesday. Marietta's got a very special menu already picked out. She just needs everyone to please call the church office no later than Tuesday afternoon, so she has a good idea of how many people she needs to prepare for. This coming Saturday, we're having a cleanup day. We're going to be pulling weeds, planting some mums, cutting some limbs, just in general, picking up the church, making it look nice for the anniversary. So if you can participate in that, we'd be glad to have you. We're going to start at 8 a.m. And it's nice to have a chef in the congregation because she has agreed to cook a light lunch for everyone on that day also. So we're certainly thankful to have Marietta do that. Union Missions Clothing Drive, it will end on the 31st. Don't bring any clothes after the 31st because we will be taking them to Roanoke Rapids. But if you have any that are still, you haven't had a chance to bring them to the church, you have until the 31st to do that. On the 12th of November, we've mentioned this for quite a few weeks, we're going to have our 175th anniversary, and since we are having a catered lunch, it is a necessity for everybody that's coming to RSVP to the office. As of last Wednesday, there are 100 people that are coming. A lot of our older ministers, past ministers, are going to be here to participate in the service. Calvin, which I know y'all like to hear him sing, he's going to be singing. Also, there is a special music that the choir is going to sing that was actually prepared by a lady that was a member of this church that a lot of y'all know. And they're going to be singing something that she put together. She's no longer with us now, but we're going to do that. We've also got Dr. Kroom and Ely Whitehead mentioning something on the history, and Dr. Taylor, who is the interim president of Chowan College, he wanted to come and say a few words. Him and Dr. Gaskins were having lunch a few weeks ago, and Dr. Gaskins had been asked by Chowan to go to their, they were putting in a time capsule. They wanted him to say the invocation. And so the two of them were having lunch afterwards, and they got to talking, and Dr. Taylor said, "Do you realize that the very first president of what was then Chowan Women's College was also, at the very same time, your first minister at Murfreesboro Baptist?" And, of course, Dr. Gaskins didn't realize that. But after they talked a little bit, Dr. Taylor just wanted to say a few words. So he's going to be here also. So there's going to be a lot going on, a lot of people that you may not know, a lot of people that you remember. We are going to add. We're going to have name tags because we were talking the other night, and some of these people you may not have seen for years, and so you aren't thinking, "I think I know that person." You'll be able to see their name tag. So we're going to be doing that also. Samaritan shoeboxes. There's some left here at the pulpit. There were some in the women's Sunday school class, there's one or two still left in the library. If you want to pick one of those up and fill it up, there are flyers in it that show you what you can and can't put in the shoebox, give you some ideas, and those need to be back by the 13th of November, because they will then be taken to the distribution point to be sent on. Also, if for any reason you think you need to see Dr. Gaskins this week, you need to see him before Wednesday, because he's going to take a day or two off, him and his wife, because on Saturday they are celebrating their 45th wedding anniversary. And Dr. Gaskins himself said, yeah, he said, Joanne probably deserves 4 or 5 gold stars for putting up with me as long as she has. But from the congregation, congratulations. Wish you a happy 45th. And if any of y'all happen to have a chance today, you might want to say something to one or both of them. If you remember about a year ago, I got up here to read a responsive reading. And between the time that I had gotten the bulletin and the time that I got up here, they changed the responsive reading. And when I read the first line, y'all all remained quiet. Well, this week, I sort of caught up with them. In your bulletin, it says we're going to sing a song on 422, but it's actually 442. And it's How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. It's in your hymnal in 442, or it's in your bulletin. Those of you can stand, and we'll sing the first and fourth stanza. Our call to worship today comes from Psalms, first book of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and in its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Many times our lives are so full of busy work that we neglect our relationship with you. For that, we are sorry. We know that you never let us down. You never neglect us. For if you did, our very life would cease to be. Continue to pull us to yourself. Guide us in our journey, and hold us close until the day we come back home to be with you forever. Be with us now as we gather in your name. May we feel your presence among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's always a joy when we celebrate baptism, the beginning of the Christian life. when we celebrate someone declaring their faith in the waters of baptism, and we have two this morning who are coming. Baptism is a sign of faith. It's a sign that we put our faith in Jesus. It's a sign that we are being incorporated into the church. It's a sign that we are following Christ in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so this morning, as we come to baptize these new believers, I encourage you to think back to your baptism. Think back to when you declared your faith in Christ and followed him. Snowlin Higgins comes, declaring her faith in Jesus. Snowlin, do you understand that without Jesus you can never be right with God?
No, sir.
And have you put your faith in him to follow him as your Lord and Savior for the rest of your life?
Yes, sir.
Then confess your faith in Jesus.
Lord, Jesus is my Lord.
In obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on this, her profession of faith in him, I baptize Snowlin, our sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You're buried with him by baptism into death, to walk with him in newness of life.
I thought I was going to go there.
All right. Okay, one more. Got it?
Yeah, down.
Okay, all right. Okay, now turn and face to the left there. Yeah, don't touch the microphone. Don't touch the microphone. Yeah, here we go. All right. Throughout my ministry, I've had the opportunity to baptize siblings, to baptize a parent and a child, to baptize our own sons, even to baptize the great-grandchildren of a lady who was in the church I grew up in that meant a great deal to me. But I think this is the first time that I've ever had the opportunity to baptize a teenager and her grandmother on the same day. And so that's a very, very special thing. Sandra, do you understand that without Jesus you can never be right with God?
Yes, ma'am, sir.
And have you put your faith in him as your Savior and trusted him and promised to serve him for the rest of your life?
I do.
Then confess your faith in Jesus.
I just my faith in Jesus.
All right. In obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on this our profession of faith in him, I baptize Sandra, our sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You're buried with him by baptism into death. Just eat these back. You're okay. All right, put your foot down.
I will.
To walk with him in newness of life. Okay. Let's pray. We're grateful, Lord, for what we celebrate in baptism. We are thankful for all that you have done for us in Christ. Lord, we pray now for Snowlin and for Sandra and ask your blessings on them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
For those that can, please rise, sing hymn 452, Come Holy Spirit, Dove Divine. Sarah Davis come with a children's sermon.
Son's name. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 15 through 18. Leviticus chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall each revere your mother and father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we join together now in our prayer time this morning, request that we have is to pray for the family of Pat Wilson Sawyer, who passed away last Sunday, and that's TK's cousin, I believe, and so we want to remember that family, and there are others as well that I'm sure that you want us to remember today, so please think of them as we pray together. So let's join together now in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we are grateful for all your blessings. We are thankful that we can come to you in prayer, that we can call on you and trust in you as our Heavenly Father, knowing that you hear and answer according to your will. For Lord, we know that your will is always best, even though it may not seem that way to us, that you see the end from the beginning, you see your purpose, you see what is for our eternal good, and for that we are grateful, Lord. We're grateful, Father, that in that great eternal purpose, long ago you decided to send your Son to save us from our sins. Even before we had gone astray, you had already determined that. And Lord, you sent him according to the promises that you made to your people throughout the ages. We thank you, Father, that when Jesus came, he was not just another human being coming. Though he was fully human, he was also fully divine. That in him, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That in him, you, O Lord, through God the Son, took on human flesh and came and lived among us and died for us and rose again for us. And Lord, we thank you for the great and precious promises that Christ will come again in glory to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. And so, Lord, as we remember and we give thanks and we celebrate these great and precious promises, we also come, as your word teaches us to do, to make our requests known to you. We pray, Father, for the family of Pat Wilson Sawyer and ask your blessings and your comfort for them and their grief. Lord, we know that there are others who have lost loved ones recently, and we pray for them. We pray, Father, for those who have been sick, for those, Lord, who are facing difficulty and trial, for those, Father, who may be very ill right now, and for their families. We lift them to you, asking your help and your grace, praying, Father, for your healing hand where you see fit, praying for endurance and grace where you see fit to work otherwise. Lord, we pray for our nation, for our leaders at all levels. We pray, Father, for your church throughout the world and for this local expression of your church known as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We pray, Father, that you would help us as your people to be what you would have us to be and to do what you would have us to do. And that as we seek to walk together as your people, that you would be honored and glorified, and that the word of the gospel would go out from this congregation in word and in deed, and that there would be many who would turn to you and follow Christ. Lord, many other things are on our minds today. We think of our missionaries, wherever they are serving. We think of our brothers and sisters and other lands who face persecution because of their faith in Christ. We think, Father, of the situation in the Middle East with the war there and also in Ukraine. And Father, we pray that you would bring resolution to these situations and that there would be peace and there would be justice. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And so we gather all these prayers now, Lord, lifting them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, is one God forever and ever. And we offer these prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us to pray, praying together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's stand and sing together our hymn of thanksgiving, number 570, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. 'Apostle Paul said, if you're really eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. God wants you to give what you have. not what you don't have. In that spirit, let us give. Lord, you've called us to be disciples of Jesus, to be like Him, to learn from Him. Help us, Lord, to learn from His generosity, and help us to give with glad and generous hearts. Accept these gifts, O Lord, and use them for Your kingdom and Your glory. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is Paul's words to the Roman Christians about baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The word of the Lord. Praise His holy name. Thank you.
Thank you. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Mark 8, 31 through 38. Then he, that is Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And so now, Lord, as we look into your word, we pray you would open our minds and our hearts to hear and see and understand and to obey what you would say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you asked any good questions lately? You know, that's something we like to do, isn't it? Asking questions. We have a lot of questions in life. Right now, a lot of us are asking what in the world's going to happen in the Middle East and in Ukraine. How's that going to affect us? Or what about questions about the economy and the staggering national debt and how that's going to affect us and our families directly? Sometimes, especially when we're facing suffering through sickness or injury, we have a lot of questions. In the midst of tragedy and grief, we wonder about things and we ask, why is this happening? Why is it happening to me and my family? Is there any meaning to what's going on? Does God have anything to do with any of it? Well, you know, in the midst of all the questions that we ask, there's one question that I would say is the most important question that we can ask, and that is, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or to put it another way, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Now, you might think most people would know the answer to that question, but I'm afraid there's a lot of misunderstanding and even misinformation out there about it. Some people think that it simply means you're a decent person and you do some good things, like a man in one of my early pastorates. His name was Rodney. He was in his 60s. He was a decent fella, never married. He lived with his mother, and in her later years, he took wonderful care of her until she died. Rodney had come to church occasionally, and one day I was visiting with him, and I had the opportunity to have a conversation with him about his spiritual condition. And when I asked him about his relationship with the Lord, here was his response. "Well, I've been a pretty good person. I've always tried to treat other people right. I took real good care of my mother. So I think when my time comes, the good Lord will look at everything I've done and say, 'Come on in.'" And I couldn't convince him otherwise. And when I had to do his funeral sometime later, I have to confess, it was not with much confidence about his relationship with the Lord. Now, some people think that being a Christian means that you follow certain rules, doing certain things and not doing other things. And now Christians should live a definite lifestyle, and there are things that Christians should do and there are things that Christians should not do. But we don't do them or not do them in order to be a Christian. It's because we are Christians. Because we are following Jesus. It's the result of being a Christian rather than what it means to be a Christian. And then some think that being a Christian means that sometime, somewhere, you made a profession of faith in Jesus and maybe you were even baptized, but then you never followed up on it. You never lived the Christian life. You never took part in the life of the church. In fact, you went out and lived like the devil, but you could point back and say, "Hey, I made my profession of faith in Jesus, so I'm a Christian." Well, not so sure about that. That's not what it means to be a Christian. Because somehow none of those things square with what Jesus said about it here in this text that we're looking at this morning. We need to ask what Jesus said. If we want to know what it means to follow Jesus, we need to ask Jesus, what does it mean to follow Him? Now, many of the Jews regarded Jesus as a rabbi, a teacher like the rabbis of the Pharisees, and the rabbis of Jesus' day had their followers, and the way that you became a follower of a particular rabbi was that you petitioned to study with him. In effect, you applied, like applying to college. Well, Jesus chose his disciples. He called them. And the ones that he called were not the kind of people that the rabbis would have chosen and selected from among their applicants. They would not have been of sufficient quality. And yet, what Jesus called for from his disciples was far more than what they called for from theirs. After Jesus had asked his disciples who people were saying he was, and Peter had answered, "You're the Messiah," Jesus told them what he was facing. He was going to go to Jerusalem, he'd suffer, be rejected, be killed, and then rise again. And he told them all this very clearly. He made no bones about it. Peter took him aside and rebuked him for it, and he rebuked Peter and told him, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he told all of them what those who wanted to follow him must do. First, he said, any who want to follow Jesus must deny themselves. And the way that this is stated in Greek indicates that what Jesus was saying here was a command, not a suggestion or an exhortation or encouragement. Any who want to follow me must deny themselves. Well, what does he mean by that? It's a matter of renouncing our claim to self. It's disowning ourselves. It's giving up our rights to God. It's not just denying certain things to ourself. It's learning to say no to self. No to self-will. No to idolatrous self-worship. Now, you know, when children first learn to say no, they love to say it, don't they? And they especially love to say it to their parents. And they love to say it a lot. And the job of the parents is to help that child understand that he or she needs to learn to say no to self rather than to parents, right? And it's that way in our walk with the Lord. We have to learn how to say no to self and self-will and self-worship, even to self-preservation, and to say yes to God and to His will and to His kingdom and His purpose. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to say no to our sinful self and say yes to Jesus Christ and His claims over us. He said no to sin and self-preservation and yes to the Father's will. And if we're to follow Him, we have to say no to ourselves and yes to Him. And the fact is that unless we're willing to deny ourselves, we can't follow Jesus. We just can't do it. Now, along with this denial of self, those who would follow Jesus must take up their cross. And again, it's cast as a command. Cross-bearing is not optional for those who would follow Jesus. Now, you know, sometimes people will talk about some difficulty that they have in their lives as being, this is the cross I have to bear. That's not what Jesus was talking about. In the ancient Roman world, a cross was for one thing and one thing only, execution. A person who had been condemned to be crucified carried the cross beam from the place of conviction to the place of execution. And so to carry the cross then means living as a condemned person, so to speak. To put it another way, those who'd follow Jesus must constantly be willing to give up their lives to Him and for Him, spiritually and, if necessary, physically, rather than be unfaithful. In other words, like Jesus, they must die rather than sin. As Charles Talbert has put it, we must live free of any attachments to anything other than God. Jesus Christ must be ultimate to us. Now, the Romans crucified those who were rebels against Rome, and to confess Jesus as Lord in that day could be considered just that, because people were required to confess that Caesar is Lord, and if you say Jesus is Lord, then that means that Caesar's not Lord. And the Romans regarded it that way many times. Well, Jesus carried His cross, though innocent, to give His life for us. And those who'd follow Him must be willing to give up their lives for Him and to Him. Make no mistake about it, Jesus calls for our absolute loyalty, pouring out our life for Him if necessary. He calls for radical commitment. You may be saying, well, that's a little much, isn't it? Well, you know what? Millions of Christians over the past 2,000 years haven't thought so. Maybe it was summed up best by Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, at his martyrdom in A.D. 156. When the Roman official was trying to persuade him to recant his faith in Christ, Polycarp replied, 86 years I've been His servant, and never once has He wronged me. How then can I blaspheme my King who has saved me? And they tied Him to a stake and put the wood there and set it on fire. When we deny ourselves and take up our cross, we'll be doing the third thing that Jesus says. He says, follow Me. And the form of the Greek verb here has the continual force with it. Those who want to follow Jesus must follow Him continually, continually saying no to themselves, continually bearing their cross. They must walk as Jesus walked, in the way He walked, in self-giving servanthood, radically committed to the Father's will. Remember, Jesus had showed His disciples His way of being the Messiah. So whoever would follow Him must choose the same way. I like the way Malcolm Tolbert put it when he said that following Jesus is a way of life, a daily offering of self to the will of God. Following Jesus is indeed a journey, a daily walk characterized by self-denial, willing sacrifice, and absolute loyalty, giving ourselves up totally to Him. It's a journey of faith, like the faith of Abraham, who took God at His word and went to the land He would show him. Now, at this point, Jesus stated a paradoxical but undeniable truth. He said, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for My sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Things really do work that way when you think about it, don't they? I mean, look at the miser who hoards everything but never really enjoys anything versus the generous person who enjoys sharing what he or she has. What Jesus is talking about here is a reference to real life, the life of the soul, eternal life here and hereafter, to one's very self. And to keep self for self is ultimately to lose self. But when one loses self, what good is anything else he or she may have gained? What is one's self worth? Jesus says that to be ashamed of Him now, trying to save ourself, especially if called on to give up our life for Him, means that He'll be ashamed of us at His coming. And friends, that is the ultimate loss of self. And you say, boy, that's hard. Yes, it is. And none of us ever lives up to it fully. That's why there's grace. That's why in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we read, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As we follow Jesus on the way, there are going to be times when we go astray, where we stray off one way or the other. There are going to be times when we stumble and fall, but He's always there. And He's always picking us up and brushing us off and forgiving our sins and saying to us again, "If anyone wants to come after Me, deny self, take up your cross, and follow Me." Are you following Him? Are you really, truly following Him? This morning we have celebrated Christian baptism, the declaration of faith. And so this morning, I encourage you to join with me in a very ancient confession of faith that's commonly known as the Apostles' Creed. Present form dates back at least to the 8th century, but earlier forms date back to the very early centuries of the church. And this is a confession that was used with baptism in the early church to help new believers understand what we believe. So would you join me in confessing our faith together? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning, have you followed Jesus? If not, what better time than right now? Would you put your trust in Him? Yield your life to Him? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him? Or maybe you've been following Him for a long time, but you sense that maybe you've strayed away and you need to renew your commitment to Him. We invite you to do that this morning. Now, you can do that right where you are, and I'd encourage you to do that. And if you are professing your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can pray right where you are and ask Him into your life and yield your life to Him. But you need to tell others about it, and we invite you to come and share that good news this morning. Would you come as we stand and sing number 612? Thank you. And we have seen faith witnessed in the waters of baptism. And as we have heard your word, read and proclaimed and sung your praises, thank you, Father, for all you do and for the gift of salvation in Christ and for our promises that we have in him. Be with us now, watch over us and guide us, O Lord, and help us always to live as disciples of Jesus. We're going to ask Sandra and Snowlin to be here at the front after the postlude so that you can come by and greet them and welcome them and encourage them. Brothers and sisters, as you go today, go as disciples of Jesus Christ, following him. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Be seated. Welcome. We're so glad to have y'all. Bless you. Bless you.
Good job this morning.
Thank you. Tell your friend, yes. Okay. They would welcome
it. I'll get with you this afternoon.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks.